is called "It's Just a Small Sin, How Could It Hurt?" How many times do we compromise things in our lives because we think, oh, it's just, it's not that bad. It's okay, it's not too bad. I could be doing something worse. Well, at least I'm not like, brother so-and-so over there and doing that. But so many times, we like to justify the things in our life. We say, well, I could be like them. I could be doing this. Well, at least I'm not like them. So many different things in our lives where we just try to convince ourselves it's okay. Even to the fact of not helping someone. Not going out of our way to do something for someone else. I'll get into scripture later how that's a sin also in itself. That we think, well, I'm not doing anything really wrong, but what are you doing right? What are you really doing that you're supposed to do? We get bullied by the devil. The same way as a man bullies someone else here on earth, is what they do is they find their weakness. They find things about them that they don't like, that they probably think that person doesn't like in themselves anyhow, and they begin to attack that. They begin to go after that. The same way as Satan does is he finds what your weakness is, and he runs with it. He finds what your weakness is, and maybe it can be anywhere from the fact of what your weakness in sin is, or maybe the fact of what your weakness and your insecurities are. That a lot of times you may wake up in the morning and look at the mirror and say, I'm nobody. I'm dumb. I'm ugly. So many things that Satan lies to you about. First of all, God created each and every one of us. Amen? So if you call yourself ugly or someone else ugly, you're saying something God made was ugly. God made us in his image. So what are we saying about God? First of all, have confidence in yourself. Secondly, what Satan will do is he'll bully you the same way a bully does. What a bully does is if it works on you, the bully will continue to bully you. He'll continue to pick on you. He'll continue to put you down, continue to throw attacks at you over and over again, the same way as Satan does. As we begin to listen to his lies, as we begin to be bullied by him, as we begin to fall into the temptation of the enemy, Satan goes, wow, this is working. I can continue to do this to them. I can continue to throw attacks at them over and over again because it's easy. They fall to it every time. Think about the difference with the bully, right? A bully goes up to someone. If someone stands up for themselves and doesn't accept the bullying, they normally move on to the next person. A bully doesn't bully someone that's going to be just as much of a bully to him. He bullies someone that accepts it. Satan, in the same instance, what he tries to do is he finds that weakness. And he tries to, especially to the part where you're just coming back to the Lord, or you're trying to make your life right, or you're trying to say, I'm getting this area of my life right. He begins to attack it before you get strong in that area. He begins to throw things at you because it's your weakness to get you to fall away from God. Now, don't get me wrong, we have trials all through our Christianity. We have times of Satan throwing stuff at us. Because what he does is he goes, okay, that didn't work. Let me try to throw something else at him and see if that'll work. Let me hit another area of their life and see if that'll work. And when he sees it's a good spot to hit, a lot of times he continues to throw things at that area. He continues to attack that area over and over again. Why is it that people say, why is it that me and my family, You hear that when the generational curses are, well, my mother was this way, my father was this way, my grandparents were this way. I guess we all just have that curse on us. You know what? It is a curse, and it's time that you stand up and break that curse off of your life. It's time that you eliminate that curse from being sent down to your children. It's time that you step forward and say, no, Satan, you're not having that area of my life. You had that area of my parents' life. You had that area of my parents' parents' life, and so on. You're not having that area of my life. It's the same way with bullying. You watch movies. A dad gets bullied. All of a sudden you watch it as it, the movie goes on and there's the kid getting bullied also. The same way the father did. And it's the same way Satan tries to attack. This worked on his parents. Let's see if it'll work on him. I've gotten his parents to believe the lie from his grandparents. Let me attack him in this area. Because if I lie to him and I just tell him it's a generational curse, maybe we could throw some cancer at him. Yeah, cancer. His dad had cancer. His grandmother died from cancer. Everybody in his family's died from that. He's going to believe it if I throw that one at him. Because he tries to get us to believe the lies that get thrown at us. He tries to get us to accept the lies that he tells us. He tries to bully us so we'll release the things we have of God. He tries to attack us, so we say, you know what? This Christian thing's too hard for me. You know what? I've been attacked so much. If there was really a God, he would have delivered me from this by now. If there was really a God, he would have answered my prayers when I asked him to deliver me from this. But as those in the Bible that were killed, beheaded for proclaiming God's name. But that's what Christianity is really about, is how far will you go? How much will you take? It's not saying become a Christian and life's great. It says become a Christian, life's going to be hard, but it's all going to be worth it in the end. You know what? You may have your brother out there that's living in sin, and he doesn't seem like there's any attacks going after him, but all of a sudden you're a Christian, you give your life to the Lord, and it feels like all hell's breaking loose. Why is it, God, that now I'm a Christian, now that I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, God, that my life is in the dumps? There's lies Satan tries to tell you. Maybe you'll get out of it, maybe you won't. But what I'm going to tell you is there's something greater than any pain you could ever feel on this earth. Not only is Satan tempting you with something, is God standing back saying, does he really love me? Does she really love me? If the times get hard, will she deny me? Will he deny me? When Satan begins to pick on him and torture him, is he going to turn to the world or turn towards me? The thing that I love more than anything, the biggest secret I believe in life, is when Satan begins to attack you, you begin to spend more time in that word. You begin to spend more time in prayer. And you know what? Even if Satan didn't stop attacking you, how much closer you'll be to God. How much closer you'll be to the Father. But I'm telling you, that as Satan begins to attack more and more, and I believe in these end times, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. In the physical, the spiritual, every part of it. Look overseas. You can't even talk about God. You can't have a Bible. I know missionaries that can't go in. They're on the banned list for certain countries that they're not allowed to go in. Basically on a list like a terrorist to come into our country that they're not allowed in there because they brought Bibles in. Because they talked about God. That they are not allowed to enter that country. Pastors that are in prison get killed because of their faith. We like to say, oh, it's bad over here in America. God's got to come soon because I can't handle much more. I'm telling you what, if you think this is bad, you better think again. We've got it made over here. We have it made over here. Satan wants to attack you with your weaknesses. He wants to bully you. He will continue to tear you down, especially if he sees you falling and giving in. If he see, think about this, right? Satan throws something at you and you begin to get further away from God because of it. Do you think, any part of your mind, do you think Satan will stop there? That's when Satan's going to attack you more than ever. Wow, that worked. That was easy. That was easy. Why do you think a bully continues to pick on someone? I was able to push him around pretty easily. That was fun. He didn't do anything back. The same way with the devil. When he sees those weaknesses and you fall for them, he'll hit you even harder. What he wants to do is get you so separated from God that really you don't know right from wrong. So separated from God that eventually when you've gotten so far away from God, you begin not to believe it. Your faith begins to fall off. And if he can kill your faith, he's got you. He's got you. Because my Bible says that to enter into heaven, you must have faith. You must have faith to believe that you can make it into heaven. If he can steal your faith, he has you. He's got you. So, he wants to make you believe that one little sin won't hurt. That if he attacks a weakness of a sin in your life, he'll try to convince you, it's just one little thing. I could be doing a lot worse. It's just one little thing. Oh, well. Or, you don't have faith in this area? It's just that area, as long as I have faith in the other areas of my life. That's when it begins to start. That's when it begins to start falling apart. I've seen it in my own life, that as you give into one area in your life, other areas begin to fall off. Other areas begin to get attacked more and more and more, because he's going to do whatever he can to keep you from coming into this house. He's going to do whatever he can to keep you from reading the Word. He's going to do whatever he can to keep you from reading your Bible. He's going to attack you over and over again. He wants to attack you before you can ever get to where you need to be with God. He doesn't want you to get there because he knows that your faith could change the world. He knows that the things that you could do with God on your side could ruin the plan he has for this world. Could ruin the plan that the devil has. That he knows that you're a threat to him. If you weren't a threat to the devil, why would he care if he attacked you or not? Why would he care? But he knows that each and every one of you are a threat to him. Think about that. Us, we're a threat to the devil. We really are. By ourselves, no. But with God, yes. Because he knows the power that we have on our side. Isaiah 59:15 says, yes, truth is gone. And anyone who tries the better life is soon attacked. The Lord saw all the evil and was displeased to find no steps taken against him. It says, yes, the truth is gone. It says, anyone who tries to better life is soon attacked. If you try to better your life in Christ, you will be attacked. Think about that. This is why so many people come to the altar. On Sundays, people give their life to the Lord, and then you never see them again. They come to God, they feel God's presence. God speaks to them, they know where they need to be with the Lord. And they walk out those doors, and they're attacked. It says you will soon to be attacked. Whoever tries to better themselves will soon be attacked. Isaiah 59:15. Let's read that in the New King James. 59:15, it says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. That those that try to eliminate themselves from evil, eliminate themselves from sin, makes themselves a prey that the Satan will try to attack them. I hear so many times, well, you wouldn't believe, you know, after church, church was great, and then this whole week has just been such an attack on my life. Yeah, it's a spiritual battle you're fighting. That proves there's something so much more than just this worldly stuff. There's a spiritual battle that you're fighting. He who departs from evil makes himself a prey. So as you begin to eliminate things in your life, you will get attacked. I'm not one of them normal preachers that's going to tell you life's going to be great. I'm not going to stand up here and say, give your life to the Lord. What a wonderful life you'll have. Yes, the thing is, when you really grab a hold of who God is, life is a million times better being attacked by the devil and having God on your side than not having God on your side and not being attacked. It honestly is. It's better to have God on your side. I've been there. To have God on your side and have nothing this world has to offer, no money, no car, no anything at all, than to have it all and not have God. It really is. If you haven't been there, don't try it. Believe me. It's not fun. But it's so much more, because the thing is, we try in this world to find things to make us happy. We think that if we have fun on earth, we think if we have all these things, these possessions, what the world has to offer, we'll find happiness. You know what? A lot of times we find happiness for a few minutes during the time we're having that fun, and then after it's over, that happiness is gone. Because it was a fake pleasure that Satan put out there for us. It was a fake happiness that really wasn't anything. It didn't fulfill what our heart was crying out for. What our heart does is when it's empty, it's crying out for God. When we receive and fill that missing puzzle piece in our life, that's really all we were looking for. So when anything else attacks us after that final puzzle piece is in place, which is Jesus Christ, when anything else attacks us, it's really not that big of a deal. It may be hard, but you realize you'd rather life be hard with God than to be easy without God. If you don't understand what I'm saying, then you really need to seek God's face stronger. You really need to find out. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm not calling you out on this, but if you don't understand what I'm saying, we've all been in the world at one time or another in our life. We weren't born as a Christian. But what happens is when you receive Christ, your eyes are spiritually open. You realize, wow, all these things that I was trying to accomplish, who cares? Who really cares? Because now the puzzle's complete. The puzzle pieces are all put together. It's like my kids, they try to finish a puzzle, but there's that one piece that they lost and they can't find. But it's not complete until Jesus Christ has fulfilled it. Until Jesus Christ is that final puzzle piece that makes all the different areas of your life come together. That a lot of times we continue to seek for that puzzle piece. We continue to seek for that one piece. And we seek the world to find it. Until one day we realize it was in front of us this whole time. It was Jesus Christ waiting for us to allow him into our lives, to better us into something greater. One little sin can go so far. One little sin does the same thing in our lives. One little sin causes it to spread throughout the whole body. Because we allowed Satan to have one part, he begins to take more and more and more, just like cancer, till he finally kills you. Till he finally kills you. That's why a lot of times they try to detect cancer at an early stage. They say, good thing we detected this cancer early. I think we can eliminate it now. Once it's spread to the whole body, it's almost a lost cause. The same way in our lives. It's a lot easier to eliminate the cancerous cells out of our spiritual life, the sin, when it's small in one or two, than when it grows to a whole lot. Because the same way that happened with me in my life, that it was just one little sin, and then I compromised something else, and something else, and something else, till before you knew it, I looked back and go, oh my gosh, where did God go? Oh my gosh, what did I do? And my whole life was revolved around sin. My whole life had become a ball of sin. That if you knew me and you heard the words and my actions, you wouldn't think I had ever found God. You wouldn't think I ever had known God. But then one day, I found God. He found me again. And I began to eliminate those sins out of my life. I began to break them off. But by doing that, the same way that it showed in the cancerous cells, they began to bring in good cells. They began to surround the thing, begins to get surrounded by good cells. In the same way as you begin to turn your life around, to implant yourself around other Christians. To begin to do good things, to cancel out all the, it doesn't make it right, you're bad. But the more good you begin to do, the less time you have for sin. The less time you have to do things wrong. That is a cancerous cell takes over the body to kill you, the same with sin. And it's something small, and it begins to duplicate and duplicate and duplicate. Until one day, even the people at your own church begin to go, man, what happened to old so-and-so? Is he doing okay? He's just not the same person I knew. Or with me, when everybody at church starts coming up to you and they're going, oh, we're praying for you, brother. We're praying for you. And I'm always just like, why is everybody praying for me? Everybody's just praying for me all the time. But it wasn't because I was doing so great. It was because of where I had gone. But begin to eliminate things out of your life. Each and every one of us, whether it's an, you may think there's not really that much bad. Maybe it's an attitude problem. Maybe it's language. It can be so, maybe it's a lack there of faith. I don't care what it is, but find something in your life and eliminate it before it starts taking a hold of other areas in your life. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't say it's okay because it's just something small. It will begin to spread. It will begin to take over your life. Colossians 3, 1 through 10 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness with idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Say, there's still some stuff in my life I can't get rid of. There's still some stuff I'm struggling with. There's still some things I need to get rid of, but it's hard. It says, put on that new man. That old man that couldn't get rid of those problems is now dead. He no longer lives. That when you become new in Christ, you're somebody else, and that him who lives in you. It says that you have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So you're renewed in the knowledge of Christ. Think about that. I don't know how to get rid of this. You've got the knowledge of Christ in you. You now know how. There's a Holy Spirit that lives in you. Jesus Christ that lives in you, who now says, okay, I'm going to show you how to eliminate this. He helps you. Because the thing is, when he comes into your life and you begin to do it wrong, all of a sudden there's this thing inside you going, Don't do that. Don't do that. And then afterwards, it's even worse. It's, oh my gosh, you just did that. Oh my gosh, you just said that. That the guilt and the aftermath of the sin that you do is 10 times worse than the pleasure you gain from doing it. It's that much worse. And a lot of times us is in the flesh are so dumb, it's the only word for it, that we continue to do it over and over again. Even though we know that the end result was so much worse and guilty for us than the pleasure we got from doing it, and we continue to do it over and over again. And then what happens one day is you don't feel that guilt anymore. You don't feel bad about it anymore. And that's when those cancerous cells begin to take over. And they begin to take over. And they begin to duplicate because you don't even feel bad about that one anymore. Maybe you say, in closing, guys, maybe you say you really don't do anything wrong. You're a pretty good person. You've got your attitude under control. You've got your lying under control. You've got your tongue under control. You've got so many things under control. What are you doing good? James 4:17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Think about that. How many times have we thought about doing something good for somebody because it came in our mind and we don't do it? That's a sin itself. That we're held on a higher level because we know right from wrong than those that have never heard it. It doesn't say those that do bad. It says those that just don't do good. Because you can be a person that doesn't do anything bad, but you're not really going out and doing anything good. But think about that. To him, it's a sin not to do good. So the next time you see somebody in need, just remember the words of your pastor. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.